Hey guys, well, the time has arrived. Our merch shop closes today. So head on over to the link in our show notes and grab your merch before it's gone. Hey guys, it's Candace.
And it's Elena.
And you're listening to Cousins on Crime. Hi.
Hootie hoo.
Hootie hoo. What's up?
Oh, you know, just came to visit with you.
Yeah.
See what kind of story you got for me.
Yeah. Oof. This one's a wild one. Should we just jump in? Like,
I mean, I got the time. Let's do it.
Okay. Well, we will just cut to the chase today, guys. We won't chit-chat and make you skip through that. I bet people like, skip. But today, yeah. Our story is about a girl named Taylor Wright. She was born April 23rd, 1984. So she was 33 in 2017. So I think I did my math right. Were you 33 in 2017?
I don't know. I mean, I know I'm 39 now. So
I'm not a mathematician. And by that, I mean, I'm terrible at math. So I used a calculator. I think that's right. And she didn't have a great childhood. And the reason I didn't see anywhere that it was 1984. I saw on the Facebook page that she was born April 23rd, but there was no year. And I don't have any details regarding, like, details about her upbringing or childhood, but I did read an interview with her foster mother, which tells me she was clearly in foster care at some point. So she grew up in South Carolina. She was charismatic and outgoing. She was a go-getter. She had a son, and she was a great mom. She was described as, like, such a fun mom. Like, there's pictures of her running around in the rain with her son. And she worked as a police officer with the Jacksonville Police Department from 2008 to 2009. Yeah. And also from 2012 to 2013. I'm not sure why she left the force in 2009, but Deputy Chief Timothy Moffitano said, quote, "Officer Wright was a brave and spirited young officer who we were happy to rehire to the service when she returned to the area in 2012. I suspect that it was because she got married, she moved, had her son, da-da-da-da-da. She left the force again and began working as a private investigator.
Cool.
Lena, I have this fantasy of you and I becoming private investigators.
You know what? Just the other day, Chris was like, why don't you become a private investigator? And I was, I looked at him like, that's kind of a good idea. And then
Lena,
here you are.
Nobody would suspect us following them. I mean, I'm really good at tracking down people, and I have been known to follow some people in the past, and it's such a rush because nobody is looking at some girl, you know?
Yeah.
They're looking for, like, creepy men following them. Or, exactly. Just think of us as old ladies. Who would suspect two old ladies out
with
to lunch?
With their handbags.
You know what I mean? We could even talk to the people that were... Yeah, exactly. We could talk to people that directly to the people that were following and investigating, and they would never suspect us.
Hey, Sonny, come here. Can you help me get this off the top shelf?
Honey, I can't... What is this device? Because, you know, when we're old, there's going to be some new device, and we won't even have to pretend that we don't know how to use it.
Okay.
Anyways, okay, back to the story. We'll talk later. Taylor was a PI, and she found herself at the age of 33 with a young son, and she was going through a messy divorce and custody battle. Then she found love again with Cassandra Waller. They had met on a dating app, and after a short time of dating, they decided to be exclusive and give their relationship a real shot. And to solidify that exclusivity, Taylor decided to move in with Cassandra. Their relationship wasn't perfect. It had its ups and downs. Taylor had actually cheated on her with another girl in Biloxi. But they ended up reconciling, moving on, and they actually seem to be in a really good place now. I mean, I'd hope so if she was moving in with her. I'd hope they would have ironed that out. So September 8th, 2017, Taylor had plans to go out to lunch with her friend Ashley MacArthur. Now, Ashley and Taylor met through Ashley's husband, Zach MacArthur. He and Ashley were, he and Taylor were private investigators together.
Okay.
Ashley showed up at the house to pick up Taylor, and they were headed out the door. Cassandra gave her a kiss, you know, said goodbye. And, you know, Cassandra was like, happy to see her getting out and hanging out with friends and like, you know, just getting her mind off of the divorce and the custody battle, because she didn't have custody of her son. Her ex-husband had, or soon-to-be ex-husband had custody of their son, and he was living in North Carolina.
Mm.
So just being separated from her child and having to fight that, and that was really just taking over her life at the time.
Yeah.
Elena, out of curiosity, How often do you and Chris kind of talk throughout the day? Like, whether it's texts or phone calls?
Well, I mean, we both work from home, so constantly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, constantly. And but I imagine both worked in the office.
Yeah, if I worked in the office, which sometimes I do go in the office, I don't know, probably, quite a few times.
But you, like, check in with each other, like, how's your day going?
Yeah.
You know, hey, I'm at work, I just got to work, hey, I'm headed home. So Cassandra and Taylor were a typical couple, like most. They often checked in with each other during the day, and this day was no different. So while Taylor was supposedly having a good time with her friend, she had a lot going on in her life. Mm-hmm. So Cassandra wanted to check on her. Are you having fun? What are you guys doing? Have you had lunch? And so Cassandra was checking on her, seeing how things were going. And it was just like kind of small talk throughout the day. Oh yeah, we just finished up this, that, and the other. And then she kind of didn't hear from her she didn't answer the last few texts that she had sent her. And come 6 o'clock, Cassandra was getting a little pissed off because Taylor wasn't answering her texts or her phone, and they had dinner plans. So she reached out to Ashley, and she's like, hey, where are y'all? Like, where are y'all?
Yeah.
Why isn't Taylor, why hasn't she left yet? And Ashley was like, huh? Taylor left my house about 5 or 5:15. PM and she took an Uber downtown, I think. Cassandra was like, what? No. Like, we had dinner plans.
Right.
So why would she go downtown? And so Ashley was like, oh, I think she just went downtown to have a couple drinks and cool off or whatever. Again, Cassandra's like, we had dinner plans. This doesn't make sense.
Right.
So Cassandra starts reaching out to other people. She reached out to Taylor's ex-husband, Jeff, who had their son, and was like, have you heard from her? Because she wouldn't just not reach out and speak to her son, you know?
True.
Well, he hadn't heard from her either.
Hmm.
According to Crime and Investigation UK, it wasn't until September 14th when Cassandra reported Taylor missing to the police. Oh. Remember, she was last seen on September 8th. So we're talking right. a week here.
That's a long time, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Cassandra said that in the days after she last saw Taylor, she was actively calling people. She was calling her family, all her friends. She was calling hospitals, etc. Hmm. She even was calling hospitals in many different states, like Louisiana, North Carolina, you know, world. Just like, well, she's just thinking like she got this weird text from Taylor that day saying she needed some time, okay. she needed some space. And while she didn't at the time, she was just like, what?
Yeah.
I don't get this. Like, you're moving in with me. We have dinner plans tonight, and suddenly you need time and space. Yeah. I don't get this. So she's thinking, well, maybe she did just take off. I don't know. Like, maybe she snapped and it just all got too much. And in situations like this, they start with the partner of the missing mm-hmm. person, of course. Not just because it's the closest person to them, but Cassandra is the one who reported her missing. So, mm-hmm. and, you know, not until days later. So they start with her because they're like, well, if she's so missing, why are you waiting this long?
Right.
They went over to the home that they shared. And remember, Taylor was in the process of moving in. So I'm sure at first they're trying to make heads and tails of what's supposed to be there versus what's missing and what's normally going to be missing mm-hmm. if someone's just moving in. But they were more looking for things that should be there, like personal items, toothbrushes, important documents, you know, stuff that you would move first if you were moving into a new place.
Okay.
Her ID was there, her passport, and her car was even there. Oh. Remember, she had left with Ashley in her car.
Oh.
Something else they found in the home that they were like, say what? Was a revolver that had 5 bullets in the chamber. Oh. One was missing. Cassandra explained, look, she's going through this nasty divorce, and she confided in me that Jeff had been violent with her in the past. And, you know, this divorce and custody battle got more and more contentious. And so they were just really a bit on edge. They didn't want him to come and do something, you know, while they were going through this divorce. So the police pretty quickly came out and said they really had no reason to suspect foul play. Like, they made a statement to the public. Nothing seemed amiss to them. You know, all her stuff was there. And while there was a gun in the house with one bullet missing,
yeah,
there was nothing in the home to say that a struggle took place, or yeah, exactly, or that it was a crime scene. And they also had no reason to believe that she was missing or foul play was involved because of that text that Cassandra received days before about her needing space. But still, Cassandra and everyone else that knew Taylor said that that text was just very strange. Mm. Like, that's just not like her. And it's not to say that someone couldn't do something out of character.
Right.
But after a couple of days, or even the day of, they believed that Taylor would have also informed her parents, or Jeff, or, true. You know, who has her son, or other important people in her life that she needed time and space. Like, not just one person. So while police didn't believe anything fishy was going on, Taylor's family was urging them, keep looking into this. Like, something's not right. And they did. They of course, wanted to talk to Ashley, you know, the friend that Taylor was with the day she was last seen. And they learned that Ashley had actually worked as a crime scene technician for the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, but was now working for her family's business, which was like an entertainment company. Now, Ashley gave the same spiel to police as she did to Cassandra, that her and Taylor had gone out to her parents' property that day in East Milton to visit animals because Ashley's family had a farm out there. And she said Taylor was really stressed. She felt peace and tranquility on the farm. And she felt like, you know, visiting the animals would really settle her anxiety. When they were done looking at the animals, Taylor said she wanted to go have some drinks alone. And she got in an Uber, and that's the last time she saw her. Hmm. Detectives were like, okay, well, is there any more to this story? Because it doesn't seem like y'all just stood there and stared at animals. Like, did you talk? What was the conversation about? Like, what was the contents of the conversation? So Ashley was like, well, you know, she kind of started opening up about their conversation and told lead investigator Richard Gigliotti that they talked about Taylor's divorce and the money she was hiding from her soon-to-be ex-husband, Jeff. I just saw your eyes get really wide. Money?
Yeah.
Money, you say? So about 5 weeks before Taylor disappeared, she'd given Ashley a check from her Navy Federal Credit Union joint checking account with her ex-husband for $34,000 to hold for her. You see, mm-hmm. she was hiding that money from her ex. She knew how nasty this divorce was getting, and she didn't want him or his attorneys, like, getting a hold of it or wiping out the account.
$34,000?
$34,000. She took out in a cashier's check and said, hang on to this for me. Lena, I don't have $34,000 to ask you to hold, but if I did, you know, you would be the person I'd probably ask to hold it for me.
You can trust me, I promise.
I can. So she didn't want her girlfriend, Cassandra, involved, I guess, because that would be the obvious person. Okay. So she thought maybe Ashley was a little further removed. Still, you know, her friend who she trusted to hold it for her, but she just didn't want to get Cassandra involved in it. Mm-hmm. So Ashley then added that Taylor was worried about this upcoming hearing she had in her divorce, and she'd ended up taking that money, which was in a duffel bag, with her when she left in the Uber.
Oh, what?
Whoa, Ashley. Whoa. Mm-hmm. I mean, it went from she left in an Uber to go get drinks, and now she's left with a duffel bag of cash.
That initially she asked Ashley
in the amount of $34,000. That might be something you would lead with, you know, to investigators, but that's just me. And I guess police thought she should have probably led with that too, yeah. because they're starting to now backpedal on this no foul play business.
Okay.
And they're really starting to give Ashley the fisheye, uh-huh. you know, like naturally they want to look at this cash money. Yeah. Like, what's all this about this cash? Well, detectives discovered that one of the reasons Taylor went with Ashley that day was not to go to a farm, but was actually to go to the bank and get that money. So she was like, thanks for holding the money. I'll have it back now. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
So if they couldn't locate Taylor, maybe if they could find this money, then it would lead them to her. In this day and age, Lena, you know, digital forensics become really important yeah. in most cases.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has cell phones, and our calls, our texts, our pings can really give such a picture of our movements and what's going on in our lives. And in this case, that's exactly where they started to get their hands dirty in this investigation. Okay. Once they started to delve into Taylor's phone records, it was not lining up with the story Ashley gave.
Girl.
It wasn't lining up. This discrepancy in Ashley's story gave way to even more half-truths and flat-out lies. And since Ashley placed herself with Taylor that day, now they want to see Ashley's phone records and her bank statements.
Okay.
And boy, were they onto something here. You know that $34,000 cashier's check Taylor asked her to hang on?
Yeah.
You know, the one that all the money we're talking about here? Well, Ashley had deposited that into her own personal bank account.
Oh, girl. What a dodo.
Now, listen, let's play devil's advocate here. Maybe that's not so bad. After all, Ashley was hiding the money for Taylor, so maybe depositing the money in her account was safer than just having this, like, cashier's check flapping in the breeze. You know what I mean? Like, I remember when we sold our first house, we got a check for $13,000, and I thought I was rich. And I walked that check down to the bank, and I was gripping it like it was a lottery ticket or something. I mean, so I get it. Maybe she was scared she was going to lose it, misplace it, or whatever. Well, if that's all I had to tell you about the money, that would be one thing. But it's not, because we're cousins on crime, and our stories are longer than 20 minutes.
That's right.
Ashley was spending that money.
Oh.
Like, clear as day. Getting cash out of the ATM, paying off her credit card bills. Wow. She even bought a motorcycle.
What?
I mean, I have so much to say, but I'll save it for the end. October 19th, less than a month after Taylor was last seen, police obtained search warrants for three different properties tied to Ashley. In order to execute those search warrants, they had Ashley come down to the station for another interview so she would not be around, like they could get her out of the way. They kept her there for hours, and if you know, you've ever watched those interrogation interviews where the detectives are like holding somebody and asking them questions, they keep stepping in and out, or they keep checking their phones. That's because they're in constant communication with their team out in the field.
Ooh.
You know, that's looking for something. So they're checking in. What are you finding? So that they can drive those, that interview or those questions and mention things that they're finding.
Yeah.
Well, sadly, they weren't finding anything during that time. And they had to let Ashley go because they had nothing to hold her on. But just because they had to let her go didn't mean they were going to stop looking. I mean, these investigators were, you know, dedicated. And these were the same investigators Ashley used to work with in Escambia County.
Oh, gosh.
By the way. But pretty soon, their hard work would pay off. They visited the usual places you'd look at on a farm. You know, the structures, the barns, the animal pens.
Right.
And they combed the adjacent wooded area as well. And they came upon this really weird patch of concrete and debris, kind of stuff scattered out. It just seemed out of place in where it was. And when they looked closer, there they could see a skull. With a bullet hole sticking out of a shallow grave.
Oh my gosh.
So a team descended on the property and carefully began excavating this crude burial site. And that's when they found a necklace that they recognized from Taylor's photos. And they were sure they had found Taylor Wright. And their fears were soon realized when the dental records confirmed her identity.
Wow.
Ashley MacArthur was arrested.
Thank you.
Immediately for first degree murder. And she was also charged with, why I didn't write this down, I don't know, larceny and something else.
Wow.
We're professionals here at Cousins on Crime. But she was also held on $1 million bail, which she posted.
Of course she did.
So she was out on bail until July, the following July when her trial began. Police believe that the day Taylor was murdered, Ashley picked her up from her home and Taylor was under the assumption that they were headed to the bank to get her money. But Taylor didn't know that that money was gone. Gone. Unbeknownst to Taylor, Ashley had been out there acting like she was a Kardashian, playing like money ain't no thing. When Taylor realized they weren't going to the bank, you know, she's like, why are we driving out to the sticks? Ashley was like, oh, well, I just need to grab something from the farm first. I just need to go out there. And so she took her out there. And while Taylor's back was turned, she shot her in the back of the head.
Wow.
Then she buried her body in this shallow grave, put some potting soil and concrete over it, and walked off like nothing.
This ex crime scene investigator did all this. Like, yeah. Hello?
Yes. Yes. And all those texts that Cassandra exchanged with Taylor, they weren't even Taylor at all. Those responses she was getting, that was from Ashley. Wow. Ashley had been communicating with Cassandra all day to make her think that Taylor was alive and kicking that whole time.
Oh my gosh.
Now, to your point, being a former crime scene technician, she may have had some tricks up her sleeve, like trying to establish that Taylor was still alive during the day and blah, 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 right. blah, blah. Sending that text saying she went off to clear her head. But she made a huge mistake. And I'm not talking about the murder that itself, yeah. because that's the obvious mistake.
Right.
She left the money trail that might as well been a runway lined with neon lights. I mean, what was she thinking?
I mean, nothing, obviously. I mean,
was she like, and to look at this girl, like if you see pictures of her, Ashley looks like a freaking kindergarten teacher. Ugh. Like she looks like someone who would never, like just is sweet, nice, just wow. this whole thing over money. Oh my. Well, Ashley's trial lasted 4 days.
Oh, wow.
4 days. And there really isn't much to speak of and report as far as the trial's concerned. This was open and shut. The jury found her guilty of first-degree intentional homicide, and she was sentenced to life with a mandatory of 25 years served before parole would be considered. Taylor's family and friends were pleased with the verdict, of course, but they're just still, like, left shaking their heads over this senseless loss and the fact that a trusted friend was the one who ultimately betrayed her. Ashley, in fact, came over to Taylor and Cassandra's house when Taylor was supposedly still missing and consoled her and spent time with her and, like, brought her food and groceries. Gross. Yeah.
So is that That's how gross. The gun got back? So, was it Taylor's gun that was used?
I don't know. I couldn't find any information about the gun. I don't think it was that gun. I think it was a different gun. Okay. But
it just so happened that it was missing a bullet.
Yeah. I don't know. There was nothing really to report with that.
Gotcha.
But you know what strikes me about this case is just like the audacity of the spending money like that.
Yeah.
What was she thinking?
Y'all.
That's the easiest thing to prove.
I know.
Like, maybe it started off with, okay, I'm going to pay off my credit card bill. And when I get paid on Friday, I'll, like, pay the account back or something. So I don't incur interest. And then maybe it just, but something else I read was that she was funneling money through her family business.
Of course she was.
Through this jute box. Oh. Because, like, her family's business was, like, this entertainment business. Uh-huh. So they had a jute box, and she was, like, funneling money through that. So she had this greed.
Yeah.
Already, like, in her that she was already, you know, exercising, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I just... What goes through someone's mind when you're spending someone else's money And, like...
I couldn't tell you. I mean, I don't know.
I'm literally speechless. I literally don't have words. I don't know what to say about it. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I just...
Yeah, blatant. You really have to watch who your friends are. Like, these people...
Yeah.
They pretend and act like they're your friend, and that's gross, yeah. Like you said.
I know.
Like, it makes me not want to have friends. You're always watching your back.
Because you're like, who can I trust? Yeah. Who can I trust? You know, it's like... And sometimes even family lets you down.
True.
And you're just like, well, what? Who do I trust then? Yeah, it just breaks my heart. Like, you think of the what ifs. Mm-hmm. What if she would have given that cashier's check to Cassandra instead? What if she would have given it to her mom instead? This wouldn't have happened, right? Yeah. Like, we have to think it probably wouldn't have happened.
I know.
So, just, yeah, it's so sad, and it's so stupid.
It really is.
That she died because of this stupid idiot. Yeah.
And the fact that she could get out. Like, no regard for anybody just because she's greedy.
Yeah. And she still maintained, like, after she was arrested, she's like, I don't know. I don't know anything about it. It's like, what?
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyways, that's all I got for you. And I'm very sorry, but at least the girl is sitting her booty in prison.
Yeah. There is that.
You know.
Well, rest in peace, Taylor.
I know. Fly high, angel.
Well, this was great. Let's do it again.
Let's do it. See you next week, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, thank you for listening to Cousins on Crime. If you're enjoying our podcast, please leave us a 5-star rating so that other true crime fans can find us.
If you have any case suggestions or just want to say hey, email us at cousinsoncrime@gmail.com. And be sure to follow us on Instagram, where we post case photos and information at Cousins on Crime Podcast.